Today you'll meet Ashmita. Ashmita's first grief was when her mom died in 2008. Then her husband died in 2019, followed by her father in 2022. These events pushed Ashmita deep into self-reflection, and she is now an educator, grief support expert, and author. Starting today, the podcast schedule will be changing, and new episodes will drop on the third Tuesday of each month. If you are looking for more stories and content, I encourage you to go back and listen to episodes from seasons 1, 2, and 3. There are over 150 published episodes, so there are many episodes to choose from. And now, Ashmita's story. Hi, this is Beth, and welcome back to the Daughters Without Moms podcast. I'm not glad you're here, because if you're here, that means that you most likely have experienced some sort of loss, but we are grateful that you've chosen to listen to the podcast today and to hear Ashmita's story. Ashmita has quite the story to share, so I am going to turn the mic over to her and let her introduce herself, and I will be back with a question at the end. So welcome, and thank you for being here.
Hi, Beth. Thank you for having me. So, yes, my name is Ashmita. I'm a resilience and grief support advocate and educator, entrepreneur, author, and a lifelong learner. I am passionate about reshaping how we perceive and heal from grief and trauma. Over the years, I have gathered quite a few experiences that have challenged me, especially with loss. And this journey that I've been on has transformed me into a different person, a person that I don't recognize now. But through my journey of self-discovery, I've realized that our thoughts have a huge impact on creating our reality. And I decided to share my knowledge and the information that I've gained through my experience with others who are navigating through this grieving process. So that's my mission, is to just share this, because I really do believe that experiences do not need to define or destroy us. They're here to teach us if we're aware enough and if we want to walk down that path of embracing that pain and going, just working with it. What comes out on the other side, or what comes through that, is unique for each person, but it is definitely something, from my experience, something that I'm grateful for. It has changed my perspective on so many different things. So a little background: my mom, who was my role model, my go-to person for everything, she was my, what do you call that person? Yes, she was everything to me. And in 2008, we had just moved here to the USA in 2007. 2008, it was in fall, I got a call from my dad to say that my mom was not doing well. They had to rush her to hospital, and she's in ICU, and you know, all of those dramatic stories that go with that. Just of the story is, she had ended up in ICU, and a week later, she was gone. It happened so quickly that by the time I had got myself going and found myself back in Africa, which is where I'm originally from and was born, it had left me with a day with her, but by that time she was already in that unconscious state where the only response I got back from her was a sound that she made with her mouth, you know, and that was all I got when I said to her, "Mom, I'm here." I was hoping for some miracle that, oh, you know, I'm gonna get there and my mom's gonna be fine, and it's all gonna be, this is the story I told myself, and I really truly believed that story until I got there and I saw for myself, and it was a big shock. And the day after I got there, she had passed away. It was really devastating for me, Because my mom was the person who I went to for support. I relied on her to be that sounding board, that person who would give me advice and also not judge me. So it was really that unconditional. So what she meant to me in my life was very, very crucial. Not having that in my life has really changed so much for me, but it has also pushed me on a path where I have had to rediscover, I've had to learn to rely on myself, because I slowly discovered that nobody can really understand your grief. Nobody can understand what is going on with you once you've experienced grief, especially if they have not experienced this level of loss in their lives before. And I realized that as I was having a conversation one day with my late husband, and he was very supportive and really, you know, we really had good communication and all of that kind of stuff going. And he had said to me one day that, you know, I'm trying so hard to be supportive. I'm really trying so hard to understand you, but it seems like I'm falling short. And that was almost like an aha moment for me. I had a choice at that moment. Initially, I was like, you're supposed to understand me. You're the only person I have who should be understanding me. You're my husband. You know, those were the thoughts that were going through my mind. But the more I pondered on that statement, it was an honest, true statement that he had made to me. And when I really listened to what he said to me, those words were so profound. He was indirectly saying to me, I have not lost a parent. I don't know what it feels like to feel what you are feeling. I'm doing the best that I can do to support you, but this is the best I can do. So that spoke to me and said to me that, you know what? You're on this on your own. You're on your own. You're going to have to figure this out simultaneously while caring for your family. I had young kids at that time. I have two boys and a girl. My boys were just starting elementary school at that time. So 4 and 6, something like that. So it's been, 10, 15, almost 15 years now that she's passed away. But there hasn't been a moment in the beginning. Yes, I was angry. I was mad that why did this have to happen to me? I don't have that many people that I can rely on to the level that I need to rely on someone, you know. And you took her from me. Why'd you take her from me? You know, that was something that. But along with that came the whole thing about what that death brings to a person who is grieving. Just feeling so lost, feeling so like, you know, what is this? What is the point of anything in life anymore if this is what's going to happen? Why do I even need to bother if I know the end, right? But slowly, as I, you know, feeling stuck was something that I didn't like. But knowing that I have to deal with this on my own, feeling stuck and having to live this double life, kind of pushed me in a whole weird space where I just started looking for ways to understand what is it that's going on here and how do I work, how do I help myself. And through that, through scriptures, through reading various different scriptures, through doing a whole bunch of self-development classes and reading even self-development books and just understanding, delving more into death and what it means and why and this and, you know, all that kind of stuff kind of pushed me into a different space. But the one thing that I did realize is that my thinking is what was holding me back. It's what was defining how I lived and how I felt. So I had to find a way to make that connection between my heart and my thoughts. So that's why I'm I've been doing this for a good few years now, practicing this with myself, reminding myself whenever I find myself in challenging situations, I'd ask myself these questions like, so what is going on right now? This isn't self-talk that I would do to myself. What is going on right now? why are you feeling this way? Is this, you know, somebody has done something. What are you going to do with that? And how are you going to own that? Those are my choices that I had. How was I going to own something that happened to me? How am I going to allow this to control me or define me? Or what is this going to do to me? And that has been a profound, a really big help for me. And I noticed its help later on. 4 years ago, my husband passed away from pancreatic cancer. And subsequently, a year and a half ago, my dad suddenly passed away in like a week after a fall. So, but the biggest, that way of thinking kind of helped me to navigate as I was dealing with this whole new reality that I was thrust into when my husband died. This whole new identity that I had to rediscover. So, you know, trying to just keep my mind focused on what needs to be done, focusing on reality, focusing on the facts. Those are the kind of things that helped me to deal with the immediate effects of the loss. But in the background, those emotions are still there. They're still lingering in the background, and that is work that needed to be done in solitude, alone, by myself, understanding what it meant and how it affects me. And that's where all these various different tools and tips and things that I've been practicing and experimenting with myself have come to use. Simple things like breathing exercises, meditation, nature walks, And a lot of introspection and what is that word? It's not coming to my mouth right now, but self-reflection. That's the word. Reflecting, you know, self-reflection, that kind of stuff. Journaling has been really huge. Journaling and gratitude and forgiveness. Those two have been really... they've really helped me to transform. Because with grief comes this, I mean, I've experienced a whole different, and each time I'm grieving, like I grieved as my mother died, my circumstances, my reality, everything was very different. What she meant to me in my life when she left, the meaning that she had in my life was a specific meaning. She meant something to me in that way. When my husband passed away, it was different. Yes, I love both people, but in different ways. So the loss of my husband was life-changing for me in so, so, so many ways. The reality that we had created together, the family that we put together, the work that we had put together to sustain our 23-year marriage, all of that, to me, after he died, felt like, did it even exist? You know, and it's crazy that, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when a person dies, immediately in the first few days or first few weeks, there'll be talk about that person there'll be something about that person. You know, people will be talking because something needs to be done about that person's estate or whatever it is. But as time goes, nobody talks about the person. None of the people that I know, nobody says anything about them. And then to me, because it's so real to me, I'm like, my mother existed. Why is nobody saying anything about her? My husband, you know, can somebody say something nice to me about him, a memory that you had about him or about her or about my dad? That would just, it helps me to just realize that this is not a dream. It wasn't a dream that I dreamt that I had a mother and I had a husband. You know, yes, in reality, it is the past, but I don't know if it's kind of making sense where I'm going with this. But yes, so yeah, that's basically, you know, all of those losses have just pushed me into a whole different space where, especially as I said, with my husband's loss, I had to rediscover, who am I? Who am I to my, I mean, yes, I know I'm my children's mother, but I started experimenting. Okay, so I need to be mom and dad now, right? And I quickly learned that, no, I'm not mom and dad. That's one big mistake I made. My children did not need me to be their father. They needed me to just be their mother. And to, you know, acknowledging that space that somebody once occupied. Maybe there's nobody occupying that space right now, but that doesn't mean that there's something wrong. We're not broken. There's nothing wrong with us. This is just an experience. Let's take it for what it's worth. Let's draw what we can out of it. And let's build. So, yeah.
Yeah. As you're talking, I think, you know, if we would give people, I guess we would have to start with like children when they're young, you know, just these to talk about these things and to acknowledge that the loss is so hard and it's such a change in your identity, not only in your role as, like you said, wife and daughter, but that your whole, you know, the whole life that you thought you were going to have is no longer available. It is just all encompassing, overwhelming. But if we would have had, I don't know about you, but I didn't have many tools in my tool belt to deal with the profound loss and how I felt. And then when you did try to talk about it, you know, a lot of it would make people uncomfortable. And so then you were like, oh my gosh, now I feel ashamed because I'm making these people uncomfortable with my discomfort. Like, it's just this whole vicious cycle that doesn't provide a lot of space, you know, for people to share their feelings, or even to be prepared. Like, I mean, my sister battled cancer for almost 10 years and I still wasn't ready. Like, people are like, are you ready? I'm like, I don't think your brain allows you to be ready. I knew she had stage 4 cancer. She was on hospice. Like, we knew, but like her daughter, my niece and I talk about, like, we still didn't think it was going to happen. Because I don't think your brain can allow you to, or else we would all really go crazy.
You know, funny story about that. My husband had got into the hospice. The doctors had prepared us. This is it. So, you know, we called everybody. We did all of the, whatever it is we needed to do, the extended family, everything. A week later, he was unconscious in that hospice bed for a week. And he had edema in his legs and all of that kind of stuff going on. So he was really not mobile. A week later, no edema in the legs, and he's wide awake. The kids, I remember my 16-year-old at the time, well, later in October when my husband passed away, I was talking to my son, and he was like, you know, mom, in my mind, my dad, maybe he was still physically there, but I can't believe, yeah, but he's, you know, he kind of alluded to this, that in my mind, he had already died in January when they prepared us and said to us that he was going. But he lived a little longer, right? Mm-hmm. And that was just, this is a 16-year-old saying this to me. You know, children have a way of, my 14-year-old at that time, the one day I was having a conversation with him and I was just being really emotional and, you know, I'm very expressive with my kids. I've always been that way. It's I like to be authentic with them, in the hopes that they would do the same back to me. Role modeling, you know, kind of trying to make sure I do that part of me. Doesn't always work. Maybe it will later. I don't know. But my 14-year-old, one day, as I was being really emotional, this was after my husband had passed away, and I was just venting and I was just crying at the same time, and he's like, Mom, Dad is gone. What are you crying about? He just said, I stopped in my tracks. I looked at him. I'm like, I had to gather myself and realize, and just, okay, who is talking? How old is this person? He's saying this to me? Okay, I'll get a hold of myself.
Wow.
But thinking that maybe there's something to the fact, you know, when kids are younger, maybe they're able to grasp onto concepts and to things and deal with it quicker, or you know, this is just me talking from an experience that I've had. I don't know the psychology behind it or anything of that sort. There probably is. It depends on each situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just totally blown by that.
Okay.
I had to stop crying. It stopped me crying.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've already given your children some tools and space to be able to share and talk about their emotions, which I think is great. I think my kids are all older, but when my sister passed away 4 years ago, and then it was right before the pandemic. And so since then, and that's when I kind of started doing the Daughters Without Moms. Like, I still don't necessarily talk about my sister loss as much as I do my mom, because my mom was 40 years ago. It feels safer mm-hmm. to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I did the whole thing about being vulnerable and stuff with my kids too. And I'd be like going on walks and I would send them FaceTime messages. I'd be like, listen, whatever, you know, I just loved you. I didn't mean to do anything wrong. If I did anything wrong, and just know we could talk. And they were probably like, what?
You know, there's something that I read somewhere about that. I think being authentic with feelings and what happens when you're grieving, because we put in such a vulnerable space, and sometimes we feel that we just need to get it out. We just need to share. And that is all that needs to happen is on the receiving side, that person just needs to be, it's just that body just needs to be there. That body does not need to fix my problem. That body does not need to do anything else. Except for one thing, is empathize. It's actually a practice in empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to feel another person's pain and know that you can't fix it, but to still be there for that person is such an important skill and a human quality that we just have to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, I've become that way now even more intense because I've experienced all these various griefs, and I've become intentional as well. It's like I have realized that there are some people that I cannot be talking about these things to.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
mm-hmm.
there are other people who can take only so much of me talking about things. And then there's my brother who I can say anything to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You find your people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What you just mentioned about, you know, being able to have empathy to sit with someone else. Do you like to read? I'm assuming you do. Yeah. So there's a Pema Chodron. I don't know if you've heard of her before. She has this quote that says, I just looked it up. Compassion is knowing your own darkness well enough that you can sit in the darkness with others. And I heard her on a Brené Brown podcast, I think I was listening to, and they were talking about how, you know, our instinct is to want to come in. If somebody is sitting in the darkness, we just want to turn the light on and make everything better and what's wrong and, you know, that kind of stuff. But they were saying, you know, no, go sit in the darkness with them and just sit and just be with them, you know? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of brings up a whole thing about when a person's grieving. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to generalize here based on my experience is that solitude, that loneliness, that aloneness that you feel. It can, initially, when I was feeling that I was pushing my, my view was on the people outside. Why is nobody feeling? People around me know this is what happened to me, right? They mm-hmm. should know to be there for me, right? And thoughts along that line, because I'm looking out there for people to understand what's happened to me, right? And as soon as I changed that around and I started looking at me,
mm-hmm.
and I decided that I'm not going, those expectations that I have of other people to nurture me and help me take care and just help me to feel like I can live again because I feel so dead inside. I'm expecting the world around me to do that for me. It's never going to happen. I'll wait till doomsday. It's never going to happen.
Right.
And I decided, okay, you know what? It's not coming from there. So where is it going to come from? And I realized one day as I was meditating, it comes from you. You have to do it for yourself. It all starts and ends with you. The support and everything else that comes to you, comes to help you and support you and everything after that, that is a different thing. But the beginning is with you. How are you going to help yourself get out of this space or this feeling that you feel alone or this feeling that you're feeling stuck? What are you going to do? Little things. And a lot of times it's simple things like, you know, taking care of the four different aspects of being a human being, mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Mm-hmm. What are we doing on those four planes to take care of ourselves? Am I exercising? Exercising is a huge, huge way of releasing stress. Doing some sort of exercise helps to reduce stress. Meditation, you know, on the spiritual side, meditation, going for nature walks, spending time with yourself, reflecting, all of those kind of things. I talked about exercise. Diet-wise, watching what I eat, I remember not having much of an appetite. I really just didn't want to eat, you know. But having that awareness that, okay, I do need to eat a healthy meal. So at least make the attempt to eat one healthy meal a day. Maybe not three because I don't have the energy to do any of that. Baby steps. In that way, I found that I was actually parenting myself and I didn't realize I was doing it. I slowly started, the way we parent our kids, the way we parent an infant and take care of the needs, we each have that ability and some of us do it so well. You know, we take care of other people so well, which is a good quality to have. But the fact that you have that quality, if you turn it around and start giving it to yourself, especially in your time of need, when nobody else can be there for you, that is going to be your go-to place so you can help yourself to get back up and so that you can feel like you want to be back out in the world again and live again. Because I felt dead. I mean, I still do sometimes. I don't think it's ever going to go away. But I remind myself at those kind of times, you know, all is well. Everything's going to be fine. You're safe is one thing. Mm-hmm. I read something somewhere about how the brain automatically goes into fight and flight mode when you're grieving. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, well, if my mind is in fight and flight, maybe that explains why I'm feeling this way. What can I do to relieve that? And I slowly started practicing this one little thing that I would say to myself every time I started feeling anxious or feeling that overwhelming feeling coming up, you know. I just sit and say, close my eyes and just say to myself, all is well. Everything is the way it is supposed to be, you know. And sometimes I even tap my heart as I'm sitting and doing. And I noticed over time that that actually does help. Now, everything doesn't work for everyone. It's, you know, it just depends on your composition, but this is something that I kind of found that has been helping to help me keep peaceful inside. Mm-hmm. And peace is so important, especially when everything is, there's just so much to do. And how do I do all of this as one person?
Mm-hmm.
I'm slipping up in so many areas. I don't know how to do the taxes. I don't know how to do the finances. I don't even know doing what I'm supposed to, what my husband would have done, you know, to take care of the family. I don't know if I'm doing it the way he never taught. I mean, we never had those discussions, not because we didn't want to. I didn't the need to poke my nose there. He did a great job doing it. I did good taking care of the kids and the family and making sure on that front, you know. So together we made a good team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I 100% with what you're saying. And I think it also goes back to that, like, we're not really given instruction on how to do that, about how to not look externally for validation, that we have to find it all internally, like you said. And so I think a lot of times people like stuff their grief down or they bottle it up and they don't acknowledge it. Because the grief work is hard, going through, acknowledging your feelings, talking about how you're feeling, feeling dead inside, all that stuff is really hard. But I also say, like, I feel like going through life either with everything bottled up or shoved down or not acknowledging everything, putting the, you know, the toxic positivity, putting the happy face on and pretending like everything is okay. That's hard too.
Yes.
Pick your hard because they're both hard.
Yes.
But the other one has a better ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when you choose to spend some time on yourself and focusing on yourself, because you're right. You're all you've got.
You know? Think about this, right? What if this life is you're born, right? The process of life is, I mean, you're born a baby, you go through childhood, you go through puberty, you go through all the various different phases of life. That is the cycle of life, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, right?
Now, on a spiritual side, what if there is this evolution that can take place if only we allow it? And the only way we can allow it is by embracing that pain, or sort of, yes, it hurts, but slowly, within your comfort levels. I'm not saying just jump in there and, you know, but sort of just experiment with that and see where that takes you. And a lot of that involves introspection. A lot of that does involve awareness. It involves spending a lot of time with yourself. And being alone is actually not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a bad thing. You learn so much about yourself. The amount of questions that you get asked yourself, and the way sometimes this probably happened to you as well. You get these aha moments where, you know, you'd have this thought in your head and we go on about our lives and things like that. And then suddenly you just have this thing come into your head and it's like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that before? This is like exactly what I need to do. I didn't even need to put too much thought to it. It's just like, there we go. It's done. But it came to you when you were least aware of, like you were more aware, but not so involved with all this busyness. Like when we're out there in the world, we're just so busy. When you're alone with yourself, you actually do have time to sit and think about and contemplate all of those questions about what is this life about? Why am I here? What do I need to do? What do I want to do?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if somebody has a plan for me or the bigger picture and all of that kind of stuff, but just if you just bring it home, what do I want to do with this? I've got this life. It's, if I want to be positive and look at it as a gift, then what do I want to do with this gift? How do I want to cherish it? How do I want to help this gift? How do I want to use this gift so that it can maybe help others? What do I want to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And those answers can be different for each human being. But just sitting down and contemplating on that is already you taking the step in a direction that is only going to take you in that positive. It's going to draw you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of what it is, from my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I don't know it all. I'm going to say that. I don't know it all. I just know what I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you also said something in the very beginning that I forgot to tell you that I take notes. That's why I'm looking down. And but you said our thoughts impact our reality. And that was one of my kind of aha moments that I had over the past 4 years as I've been doing the podcast and doing grief research, is that just because I think something doesn't mean it's true. And a lot of times we've thought some things for so long that they become our reality, but they're not real. You know, so I like that our thought, I totally agree. Our thoughts impact our reality. And also just to keep in the back of your mind, just because you think something doesn't mean it's true. Go back to the source, go back to think of who told you that, like, the good thing, the thing that I've enjoyed about getting older and doing the introspective work is that I'm like, no, I don't believe that. And that's not true. And I can change it, which is pretty enlightening.
It is. Yes. I can give you a quick example about that. I had this crazy thought that comes into my mind all the time. And it makes me feel very, it makes me feel weak. It makes me feel really bad. Every time I think of myself as a widow, I'm young. Okay. And I think of myself, I'm like, okay, so you're a widow and you're young. And, you know, all these other weird thoughts start coming into my mind until I decided one day, you know what? What is this nonsense? Where are these thoughts coming from? I did not invite you. Where are you coming from? Why is this? You know, I'm alive. Yes, my husband is not around anymore. We didn't ask for this to happen to us. Yes, what we dreamt our old age was going to be like is not going to be a reality now without him. I don't want to do that, right? But does that mean that I need to stop living also? And I need to stop, you know, because I'm a widow now, so I need to behave a certain way. And the word widow automatically has a connotation in my mind that I need to behave a certain way. I need to abstain from certain things. I need to keep away from certain people. This is my mind telling me this. And then I started asking myself, where is this coming from? Why culture? Our environment. Maybe I've seen movies before in the past that depicted somebody, you know, a widow behaving this way and how people were supporting her or how they were treating her, or whatever it is in a movie. Or maybe I've seen a real life situation of a person who lost their husband and had young children and how that person's life turned out. So I'm basing my idea of what it means to be a widow on all of these external factors. And that made me feel really terrible because I actually, if I really think about it, I'm alive. I have potential. I can do anything that I want to do. And the word widow is just a definition of a person who has lost a spouse. That is all it means to me. It is not me. Me is somebody else. Mm-hmm. Me is somebody who wants to live and live this life. So when I started thinking of it that way, wow. So that is why I really, really, really do believe that our thoughts can make us or break us. Like you said earlier, you know, those thoughts are, a nice way to look at it is they like guests. They come into your mind like an unwanted guest. They come to visit unannounced, right? As a host, how am I going to deal with these guests? I'm a polite host, so I am not going to be rude to you, but I'm going to politely say to you, hey, thank you for visiting, but there's no, I don't know, I don't need you, you know, right. In a polite way.
Right.
Thank you for visiting. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I agree. It's been that's been one of the aha moments for me. And so I was appreciative to hear you saying that. So tell people all the places where they can find you, because you have a lot of things that you're involved in. You have a book you need to tell people about, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So I have since my husband passed away, I just I kind of wrote a book called What's Your Story? And in that book, it kind of tells you about, I talk about my different experiences and also the different tools and things that I've used. I have a website where I usually post any blogs or like I have a challenge out there on the website right now. It's called the Grieve and Grow Challenge. So I have that out there. And any information, anything new I come up with or find that could be helpful for anybody who's grieving, I kind of just put it up there. I have a Facebook group called Growth Story Hub that I use as my place to put resources and also blog articles that I write and that kind of stuff. I also do have on my website a contact me page. So if anybody wanted to get in touch to maybe, you know, do a little consult or whatever it is to get more insight into the information that has come to me, I'm happy to share, and they can get in touch with me through my website.
Okay. And if you're listening to this and not able to write these things down, you can come back to the show notes, and I will link all of Ashmita's website and her Facebook and her Instagram And so I'm actually on your, oh, contact Arthur. I see it. I'm on your website. Her website is storyyoutellyourself.com. Like I said, I'll put it in the show notes, but there is a, at the top, there's a link to contact Arthur. And then your, like you said, your blog and your book and all of the things there. So it's amazing the work that you're doing and written a book and all the things that you've done. So good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I usually finish the podcast with if there's this, like a final thought or anything you want to share before we say goodbye.
Yes, I think the main thing that I would like to share is just that no matter what happens in life, we have various different challenges and experiences. We, you know, just not to let those experiences define us and to actually try to move forward with that, look for help. But the main thing is to try, just try to go within, and you'll be really, really surprised at the story that you would find that would unfold for yourself. And that's the reason I call my book, What's Your Story? My story is unfolding all the time as I live my moment, each moment at a time. And so can anybody else's.
I agree. I totally agree. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here, for the work that you're doing. You guys can find Ashmita and all the things in the show notes. And just appreciate you sharing your story today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like more information on my thoughts about the grief journey, please visit my website, www.yourgriefjourney.com. If you'd be interested in sharing your story on the podcast, please send me an email to daughterswithoutmoms@gmail.com.